thank you, guys. Thanks for the prayers. And yes, it's lovely to see you back, David. And I hope, Gwyneth, you've been okay, yeah? Have you missed him, yeah?
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
Thank you. What a privilege God gives to his people with his opening doors, whether it's Nigeria, whether it's England, Romania, wherever it might be. And this is the theme of the Acts. Through that, you will find that the people of God, they, for one thing, they pray when those doors are open, that, Lord, you will give us boldness. You will give us boldness to continue to preach, to teach. Those two things together, even in behind bars, even in prison bars, even behind a difficult situation, they ask for the Lord to bless them with even more boldness that they can preach. And those of you who've been in this series of Acts, you've seen that the church has been characterized by some incredible, huge, powerful, almost like spiritual traits, but yet very loving acts of kindness that they show, from witnessing without borders, with boldness, to preaching, to fellowship together, to sharing what they had in common, to standing firm in that truth, to praying and boldly proclaim the gospel. Those are some of the themes that we've seen throughout the Acts. After chapter 5, the church had a good time. Yeah, there have been one or two little bits and pieces where, you know, the apostles Paul and Peter and John have been a bit in over trouble. After about chapter 5 of Acts, the church was at its best, in power. And then chapter 5 comes in and there's a bit of a shaking up. And as we looked last week, and thank you to all of you, I think you found the message last week helpful. It hasn't been easy, as it's a very difficult passage to preach from. I did my best with it, take it or leave it, but some of you seem to have been very encouraged and appreciated that. But that's where God came in and said, hey, okay, it's good to have all this stuff. The Holy Spirit comes, it's good for you to proclaim. And remember, the pattern is that whenever God wanted his word to be proclaimed and preached, he prepares something before that, whether it's the coming of the Spirit and Peter stood up and preached and people came to him, whether it was a healing that took place in the temple's court, then Peter again stood up and preached. Every time the word of God was preached, God performed a kind of stage act to draw people's attention. You look through that with the Gospels, miracles happen, healing happen, feeding of 5,000, turning water into wine. All these things happen in order to prepare for the biggest miracle of all, the cross and the empty tomb. It wasn't for us to live onto the miracle of the 5,000. It wasn't for us to live onto the miracle of the healing of the guy that was on his mat, that couldn't walk, or the one with the evil spirits within them. Those are just signs who were preparing his people for the biggest sign of all, which was the cross. If I were to ask you one question this morning, I wonder what your answer will be, just in your heart, quickly. Don't think too much about it. What do you think is the greatest sin in the world? Adultery, stealing, lying, cheating, coveting, murder. All those are the consequences of one sin and one sin only. Do you know what that might be? Disobedience. When we disobey God, those kind of things follow up straight from that. It's just one little thing, one thing that we have done, and we didn't disobey God. This is what the next passage here in our story of Acts 5 is, that the disciples now, the apostles, it's not just Peter and John, but all the apostles now are persecuted. They all come under fire. They all go through God's oven, furnace, They all go together at this time. And it's funny because, as I said, up to now, they had a really good time, miracles and performing. The church was shaking a little bit yesterday, last week, when we talked about Ananias and Sapphira. And there were, you know, oops, okay, some of them have committed to the church even more. But some went away from it when they saw that, actually, I don't want this kind of Christianity, you know, who really demands full openness, disclosure of my life and everything that I do. And in verse, I think in verse 14, it says, "Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter shadow might fall on some of them as they passed by." This is where chapter 5, half of it, it ends with. Yeah, people have witnessed what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, but still others committed to the church, to its power of witness and commitment. And now something else happened. You remember that Peter and John have been advised already by the Sadducees. The Sadducees is that party who doesn't believe in the resurrection and the death of Jesus Christ, who doesn't believe in the spirit world, and other spirits or angels or something like that exist. They have nothing to do with that. Sadducees were different from the Pharisees. Pharisees were the guys who were very legalistic. If you don't come to church when Wales winning the rugby this morning, then you will be judged by God. Those were the Pharisees. The Sadducees were the ones who were the spiritual ones. They didn't believe in that kind of resurrection or another world, or even in the devil per se. So these guys, now the scripture tells us they were filled with jealousy because Peter and John did not respect their command to stop preaching, to stop witnessing, to stop going and sharing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because remember what I said to you, Peter had four things in his sermon, four things only. You, the Jews, referring to you, killed Jesus. Two, God raised him from the dead. Three, he now stands at the Father's right-hand side. And fourth, you better repent for the forgiveness of sin. Those four things are in Peter's sermons. And they went proclaiming that. And the Sadducees didn't like that. They found that very offensive, very difficult. Why? Because their authority was on the line. Because they were the ones who were teaching in the temple with authority, and what they were teaching should have stood without questioning or without any other kind of influence from anyone else. And those guys come and preach something different because they witnessed it, they've seen it. They were filled with jealousy. The word in Greek there is, they were cut to heart. Do you remember what happened when Peter preached his sermons? It says the people were cut to heart in a good way. They opened up their spirit, they opened up their souls, their heart, and many came to Christ. But here is the opposite. It's the same word used here. They were cut to heart. They were full of rage, of jealousy in a bad way, in such a way that they wanted to finish them. To finish them off completely. So they put them in a public jail. I want to say something to you as your pastor. I'm sure you know this. You probably, some of you have witnessed this in some other churches, whatever. But look what it says up there. You want to write this down and learn it as a principle, because the devil is very cunning. Those of you who haven't got this, you can ask for those. You haven't got what should I call this? Brochure, whatever it is, on Acts. You can have, they're all over. Just ask whoever you want in church, whoever you find. But they're at the entrances, so you can fill in throughout as we go to the book of Acts. And at the end, I'm going to present you with main points that I've made throughout the series in about a month time. Problems from the outside almost never hurt the church. Criticism, media, culture, Whatever it is out there that the world throws at it, it never hurts it, it makes it even stronger. However, problems from within destroy the church by breaking the bond of peace, which is in our fellowship, which is in our unity, which is in our purpose, which is in our vision, which is in our goal, which is in our ministry, and tarnishes, kills, I didn't want to use that word up there, the testimony that we carry with us. You want to write that down and think about that. The world out there is no problem. And we need that persecution, we need that kind of criticism to hear it from time to time. But problems from within, it does. And usually, when those problems arise, the first to go is the leader and those surrounding. Secondly, the church divides. And thirdly, the witness is finished. It's just a warning in there. During the night, and I think this is where God puts a stage, an act on the stage here. During the night, those guys who have been arrested, and they even managed to stay all night in prison, because look what happened. The angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. And he tells them, you go and stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. Remember why they were in prison for? Because they've been preaching. The angel comes and says, no, you go out there and keep on preaching. Because I'm sending you. That's the reason they were arrested for. And I think God has a sense of humor in all of this story. Because look who takes them out. Look who commands them to go. Look who opens the doors. It's the angels. Remember who puts them in prison? It's the Sadducees. The Sadducees don't believe in angels. Don't believe in evil spirits. Don't believe in the devil. Don't believe in the power of God. Well, it's the angels that sets them free. Because the guards, if you read the story, the guards were standing there like nothing has happened. Especially when they go and send for them. Go and stand in the temple courts. The Pharisees and the Sadducees still needed to hear the gospel. And tell the people it's all about this new life. It's a new life completely. It's not about the Judaism anymore. It's not the Old Testament, God of the Old Testament. It's a completely new life, a new covenant, a new relationship, a new understanding of God's love. Go and tell them about that. Don't give up on that. If I would have been Paul and Peter and John and the apostles, excuse me, I'm not going there anymore. You know, to put my life on life for this. No way. No way. I said at the beginning of this sermon that obedience is the key to God's unleashing the blessing on His church, on His people, on the ministries that we have. Let me talk to you very, very quickly. Oh, can I go one back, Kevin? Thank you. I pressed it too hard. Oops. Not that back. Okay, let me take it from here. Let me take it. Thank you. Okay, this is the cost of obedience. Go and stand and tell people. Secondly, I want to share this with you, is the conviction, is that being firm, established, rooted into what we believe, especially these days in the culture that we live in. We gave you, the guy said to the apostle, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. They don't have the courage even to pronounce the name of Jesus. They don't have the courage. Because they know it's a powerful name. But they don't believe in that yet. Because Isaiah 53 was ripped off of the Old Testament scripture of the Hebraic teaching of the Judaism. For the Sadducees and Pharisees, Isaiah 53 does not exist. In this man's blood, It's just another man. Yeah? And they stand very, very firm in their obedience to God. So firm that in the end, Peter declares with the other apostles, we must obey God rather than human beings. This is one of my favorite verses of all time in Scripture. It's number 3 on my list of first 10. We must obey God. This was so much more true to me in Romania than it is in this country, because we don't have persecution here. Nobody's going to take us and put us into prison. Nobody's going to accuse us of being Christian in this country. You might wonder and ask the question, but how does this reconcile with what the scripture says, that everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Now, authorities that exist have been established by God, and we need to submit to it. And we've seen that Peter and John have submitted to authority. I'll say, yes, it's true, we have to submit. However, when those rules and regulations that the culture, the authorities, the government puts on us that contradict or undermine the word of God in which we believe, then we have to make a choice. And Peter says our choice is that we will obey God in this. Yes, okay, we give Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but at this time here, God has empowered us with his Spirit that we may come to you to tell you about this new life that you've got no idea about. And we will not stop doing so. And we will obey him, not you in this. Not you. Imagine the faces of those guys. Because in the scripture it tells us here, where is it that when they heard this, they were furious. Again, the word in verse 33, the word is cut to heart. Their hearts were rage. How dare you? How dare you come before us and challenge us and not obey us? That's what basically the Sadducees are saying. How dare you come before us here? And then you have this incredible, fantastic insert where a man called Gamaliel, he is the first Jewish scholar, teacher, who's called a rabbi, a rabbi, first ever. And this is the guy whom Apostle Paul studied before he became a Christian. He studied philosophy, he studied religion, he studied all sorts of other stuff. And the scripture tells us here about this, that but a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, this is in verse 34, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in Sanhedrin. This was almost like, if you want, Boris Johnson's advisor and the whole Westminster's advisor kind of person you'd have been. He was the one that everybody, when he talked, everybody would have listened to. So Gamaliel stood up and he gives them a couple of examples of two people. One of them is called Judas, and the other one is called Judas the Galilean. Those two guys were two false prophets. They went spreading about. The first one, that Judas guy, was the one who said, come one morning, on a Saturday morning, on the Sabbath day, and I'll show you how I'm going to split the Jordan River in two. And it didn't happen. He was a false prophet. The other one, Judas the Galilean, he predicted that the Messiah will not come for another how many other years, but he felt that that year the Messiah will come and the end happens. Have we kind of heard of those prophets even today? I think we have. And Gamaliel gives them an example to the whole Sanhedrin and says, look to what happened to those guys. Now, if Peter and John and the other apostles are like Thaddeus and Judas of Galilee, if their speech and their talk in the their discourses in the temple and on the streets are rubbish or nothing, then they will be completely disappearing. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop this. You will only find yourself fighting against God. And that's what Gamaliel instructs them and advises them. Yeah, this is the pain of obedience, because at the end of the day, when you obey God, look what happens. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. I remember in 2012, when we had the anniversary here, of 150 years anniversary here, I stood up here and I asked a question to some of you. The question was this: is it safe for God's people, for God's disciple, is it safe to be in His will? Is being in God's will the safest place for Christians? And almost all of you put your hands up. Since then I had no Christmas cards. Because being in God's will is not the safest place, my brothers and sisters. Stephen, as we will see in a few chapters later, he was in God's will and he was stoned to death. John the Baptist was in God's will and he was off. The apostles were in God's will, they were behind bars and flogged. And you know what means flogged? 40 times lashes. There were 15 on the front and 25 on the back. This is the pain of obeying God. This is our worship to God. Obedience to God sometimes takes us to avenues that are painful. Fourthly, look what it says at the end of this incredible story. After they've been flogged and beaten for proclaiming and standing for the truth, they went, look at them, were they rejoicing. Wow. You see, because their faith was not based on a tradition. Their faith was not based on some dogma, on some filling the boxes and ticking the crosses and crossing the eyes or whatever. Because they have been counted worthy of suffering this grace for the name that is above all other names. They saw that as incredible joy, privilege to preach, and because they preach, they've been in trouble. The joy of obeying Christ. Blessed are those, Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for there is the kingdom of God. For righteousness, not for being a nerd or driving 60 miles an hour in a 30 miles an hour area. For righteousness, for proclaiming the gospel, blessed are those who are persecuted, for there is the kingdom of heaven. And finally, there is a fruit. There is an outcome of our obedience to Christ that comes with a command, that comes with a commission, that comes with our authority from Him. Go into all the world and make disciples. This is what we're all about. In this church, this is what our vision is all about. To become a disciples who make disciples. Why? Because we believe that this is the command of Christ. To go and baptize them, teach them to obey. What? To obey. Not a rule, nor a tradition, nor a church program, not a million sermon, but to obey God. This new life that we proclaim, this new relationship that is to be found in Christ alone. And look what they did day after day. Every day we come in the temple here once a week. In the temple courts, one place, and secondly, house to house. Sunday connect groups. They never stopped. Never stopped. And you know, glad that the church today is built on the shoulders of the witness of an incredible boldness of those people, of those apostles. I wonder if people coming after us, generation after generation, will say the same. Hey, listen, let me say something to you. I don't know if the future of the church as it is now is going to be like this. Because Christendom is over. And this Constantinic institution might disappear. But what will not disappear is the apostolic church that Christ had in mind. I'm not critical of the church, don't misunderstand me, because we need them both. But this might go soon. And it will need to be replaced with that. Because our kids will not come to this. The culture there, I read a statistic this week that shocked me. No, last week. Do you know that the last people who remember a Sunday school, what we used to call a Sunday school, are about 45 years of age? None of those remember. The language that we use is foreign to people under 50 years of age. They got no idea what we're talking about. This might not remain for long. But what you will never stop is the teaching and proclaiming the good news in the marketplace. House to house. Bank to bank. School to school. University to university. Neighborhood to neighborhood. The fruit of obedience is to proclaim this new life that is in Christ. Three things. The true Christianity is the enemy of religion. Religion might disappear, my brothers and sisters, but our relationship with Christ will stand as we continue to proclaim as a witness to Him. Secondly, we better obey God in this rather than the culture around us. And thirdly, we must continue to boldly and unashamedly proclaim new life in Jesus. Yes, for as long as God will allow us to do it to church, we'll do it to church. But this, as I said, might not be long. Because this Christendom stuff is going to be replaced. But what I think really Jesus had in mind, not an institution, but a movement. A new life in Jesus is an ongoing thing. That spreads with our life and our relationships, at work, in neighborhood, and everywhere else. I've asked Ian to come and give his testimony. Where's Ian? Yeah, okay, Ian. You've got a few minutes to share with us. Bless you. And then we've got a couple of songs that we'll wait a bit. Thank you.